The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A proclamation of the Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Please be seated.
One of the Pharisees, named Simon, invited Jesus to eat with him, and he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at table. Now there was a sinful woman in the city who learned that he was at table in the house of the Pharisee. Bringing an alabaster flask of ointment, she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and anointed them with the ointment. When the Pharisee, who had invited him, saw this, he said to himself,
"If this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner."
Jesus said to him in reply,
"Simon, I have something to say to you."
"Tell me, teacher."
"Two people were in debt to a certain creditor. One owed 500 days' wages, and the other owed 50. Since they were unable to repay the debt, he forgave it for both. Which of them will love him more?"
"The one, I suppose, whose larger debt was forgiven."
"You have judged rightly."
Then turning toward the woman, Jesus said to Simon,
"Do you see this woman? She entered your house. You did not give me water for my feet, but she bathed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but she has not ceased kissing my feet since the time I entered. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. So I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, because she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little."
Then Jesus said to her,
"Your sins are forgiven."
The others at table said to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And Jesus said to the woman,
"Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." The Gospel of the Lord. All three readings today get to the heart of who God is and why Pope Francis encourages, challenges us to get deeper into this year of mercy. For the heart of God is love. But why did he choose mercy? The term. Because mercy is loved expressed to a sinner. Mercy is what a sinner experiences in terms of love. And we hear this in the story of David. You and I may need a little reminder that David is one of the most famous or notorious adulterer and murderer in the Bible. He saw the wife of Uriah, his chief general, bathing, and he lusted after her, so he called people for her, and back in those days, when the king called, you have to respond. And he slept with her, and she gave word that she was pregnant. So what did he do? What did we do? We put on lies upon lies. He tells her husband, Uriah, "Hey, can you, go back to the kingdom." But instead of going back and having relations with her, Uriah came and sat under the feet of the king the whole time. And so now David puts him out in the front of the battle to make sure he's killed. And he's killed. And David now takes his wife Bathsheba. And so Nathan came calling. And Nathan called him out. And David, to his credit, admits in today's gospel, I'm a sinner. I deserve what I've done. But he experiences God's love in terms of mercy. You shall not die. Because you see, God, despite what David has done or not done, God, like any tenderly loving mother, does not want to lose the heart of her son. So God doesn't want to lose David. In fact, God's mercy wins the heart of David. David is the great psalmist who wrote that psalm we hear in today's response, soil. Have mercy on me. Blot out my offense. Not only that, David wrote the majority of the psalms of the Jewish people. These great testimonies to God's mercy and love. So, it is God's love and the expression of mercy that wins the heart of David over. The Bible's most notorious adulterer and murderer. This same God wants to win your heart and my heart with love and as unneeded, expressed by mercy when you and I sin. The gospel. Mercy is where the judgment of human beings meets the loving gaze of God. You see here the two kind of looking. The first one is Simon the Pharisee, the judgmental look. Whatever the woman has done, whether she's actually Mary Magdalene that we think, whether she's actually a notorious prostitute, whatever she's done, everybody knew about it. And Simon, like many of us, looks down on her. But like any human looking, we only see the surface. We only see what people do or fail to do. We could never see the heart of the person. And this is where Jesus looking sees. This is where God's tenderness sees. Because sees to the heart of the human being. We're not told in this story, but perhaps the woman and Jesus has met before. Perhaps she heard him preached. Perhaps she heard him healed. Perhaps she was healed. And whatever happened in her life, whatever her sin, whatever her stigma is, she'd encounter mercy. And therefore, she risks the judgmental eye of Simon and everyone else in the room. She risks the judgment of too much PDA. And we can't express it to you, but back in those days in Jesus' time, they didn't eat sitting on chairs like we do. They eat like this. And so the woman is like at Jesus' feet, kissing and crying and like too much PDA. I'm sure some people like told Jesus, hey Jesus, get a room. But the woman risked that. And what makes her risk that? Jesus points this out. Those who have been forgiven little loves little. Those who have been forgiven a lot loves extravagantly. To risk the judgmental eye of the others. So in the gospel, we see that human judgment meets the expansive love and mercy of God. Could Jesus judge the woman? Certainly can. Can God judge each of us? Certainly can. But Pope Francis reminds us again and again, on the cross, what is God's judgment? Mercy. Gives his most precious relationship, being his only begotten Son. And Jesus expressed this consistently in his life, a life that looks at people beyond the surface, deep into their own hearts, like he does with this woman, and keeps giving life to the end, life on the cross. And that's what the second reading, St. Paul talks about. I've been crucified to human justice, because human justice, just see at the surface. I live, not me, but Christ crucified who lives in me. And like the woman, Paul becomes an incredible disciple. And that's another story of a man, of a Pharisee who persecuted the Christians. A Pharisee who stood there where the first Christian martyr, Stephen, was stoned, and he gave his blessing. That's Paul. But Paul, won over by God's mercy, by God's deep gaze into his heart, beyond what he's able to do or unable to do. And Paul, like this woman, lived an extravagant gesture of love, risking the judgment of the other first disciples to say, hey, you don't need to be a Jew to be saved. You don't need to follow all of the ritual laws of the Jew to be saved, because the law doesn't save. It tells us what is right or wrong. But that is human understanding. And God's mercy is way beyond. This same God who won over the heart of David, who wins over this heart of this woman, who wins over the heart of Paul, wants to win over your heart and my heart. 2 weeks ago, I shared a story from my experience in Alaska, in rural Alaska. If you don't mind, I would tell it again because it stays with me. It's about a 19-year-old Yupik young woman who went on retreat. And I was up there. It was not an easy retreat for her. And at the end of the retreat, I asked her, Auna, how was your retreat? And she started to tear up. And she says this, last July, my brother committed suicide. And on December 20th, my mother committed suicide. But last night, Father, I had a dream. In my dream, I saw my mom. And you have to understand, yes, there was a service for my mom, and they prayed for her, but I couldn't let go. I resented her. I know that she loved my brother, but why did she have to do that? I resented her. And in the dream, I saw my mom looking at me. And my mom said, honey, let me go. Let your resentment go. As I said, and I woke up crying. Then I went to sleep again. And Auna continues, as I went to sleep again, then I saw my mom and my aunt is still alive, they were walking up for communion. And they were together hand in hand. And she's with God, we're with God, we're all with God. And now it's my turn to cry. And I said, Auna, this is the heart of our faith. That we believe that every time we remember the sacrifice of Christ in the altar, not this altar, the altar of life, that he wins over the heart of everyone. And even if we make all these mistakes in life, and even the next life can't keep us from God. And so every time we celebrate Mass, it's not just us who are alive, it's everyone who's gone before us, everyone who haven't been able to forgive when they die. Everyone we haven't been able to let go because they left unexpectedly or in questionable or painful circumstance. We believe that this same Lord, the same Christ who wins us over, wins them over. And when we celebrate the Eucharist, we celebrate all of our homecoming because God's tender mercy wants to win over our heart. And so today, whether you come up to receive communion or you cross your hand to receive a blessing, this is what we're doing. We are allowing the heart of God to win over our own hearts. And hopefully when we leave here, the forgiveness, the unforgiveness that's waiting to happen within our colleagues or our family or even ourselves, hopefully we allow God to win our heart over, that we might imagine at least being nice to someone we haven't yet been able to forgive, at least praying for someone our heart is a little hardened to. And by the way, that might include not only praying for the people who died in Florida, but also for that guy or whoever is behind this horrible, horrible shooting. And so we are called to come to every Mass to receive a God who wins us over, and we celebrate a meal that reminds us, not only reminds us, that is allowing, that invites us, challenges us, whatever our body and our mouth, how foul or dirty or not so cool or not so clean. This mercy, merciful God, wants to enter your life, my body, and wants to win us over so that we may be God's face in the world, God's mercy, that we may be able to begin one step, two step of forgiveness, of letting go, of communicating with our lives that God's mercy extends to everyone. And that the way God looks is not the way human being looks. God looks deeply into my heart, into your own heart, and draw us home in a way that gives us life, in a way that will help one another believe that we are God's beloved. Which, by the way, David's, his name in Hebrew means beloved. God's mercy wants to draw us deeply into God's heart, that we can accept how beloved we are, that we could learn to look at others in their flawed, beautiful belovedness.